Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wonder how many times in the last 10, almost 11 years, you've heard me say those words. I didn't make them up. I swiped them from St. Paul. Listen to those words again. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? The Cross Over Ashes. It's rare that the book of Jonah is used in one of our Sunday readings, but we have it today. Listen to these words from Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to that great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah proclaimed God's message. The Ninevites believed God, declared a fast, put on sackcloth and ashes. And when the news reached the king, he took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust and the ashes. I invite you to follow your sermon outline today as we consider our theme, the cross over ashes. Ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Many of us know this as a children's song. Sung as a part of a game when the children gather hand by hand in a circle and fall down with all laughter and joy, but the historical background of this song is really not a laughing matter. This song came from the Middle Ages in Europe during the time that was called the Black Plague. This song is a song about death. Rosies, ring around the rosies, actually refer to the rose-colored marks on the plague victims. Posies refer to the flowers people either carried in their pockets or placed on the bodies of dead persons or held to their nose so they wouldn't smell the smell of death. Ashes refer to what was left after so many dead bodies had to be burned to prevent the plague from spreading. We all fall down, can you guess it? Is a commentary about death and the results of the plague. Ashes. Ashes. Ashes are actually an ancient symbol of sin and death and sorrow and repentance. Ashes signify a sinner's need to get right with the holy God. And so in the church, liturgically, we have the imposition of ashes on our forehead in the sign of a cross on Ash Wednesday when the season of Lent begins. And by the way, that's only a couple of weeks away. Ashes remind us of the sin in our lives, our need for repentance, that we are mortal human beings that will one day die, and our need and our desire to get right with God. In the Old Testament book of Jonah, we see these three things: ashes, repentance, and forgiveness. The prophet Jonah was sent by God to the city of Nineveh, the capital city of the evil empire called Assyria. Assyria is known today by the name of Iraq. We all know what it says in John 3:16. Would you just say the first part of that verse with me? For God so loved the world. Okay, we know God so loved the world, and God loved these Assyrians and even wanted them to be forgiven and to come into his everlasting arms. And in the very last verse of the entire book of Jonah, listen to what God says to Jonah. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who don't know their right from their left, and many cattle as well. Jonah, should I not be concerned about that great city? Now keep in mind, the Assyrians were the arch enemies of Israel, known as the cruelest of cruelest people in ancient warfare. Their tactics were not just to defeat their enemies, but we're to completely humiliate them. Now, time does not allow me to describe all of their cruel practices. You can Google it if you want and find out. But let me assure you that you and your family would never want to be captured by the Assyrians. In the book of Jonah, God tells Jonah he wants them to repent. He wants them to be turning to him. He wants to forgive him. He wants to include them in his family with the people of Israel. And he told Jonah to go give him that message. But Jonah did not want to preach to them. Jonah did not want them to repent and be forgiven. Jonah did not want them to be welcomed into the family of God. Not the terrible Assyrians, O Lord. O God, surely these people are too evil even for you to love. And we read in Jonah 1 verse 3. And so Jonah ran away from the Lord. He found a ship for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Tarshish, modern Spain. Then comes the episode with which most people associate Jonah. Just a small part of the book. As Jonah was thrown overboard from this fleeing ship, God sent a great fish to swallow him. It was like calling a yellow taxi. God spared Jonah's life. He finally goes to Nineveh, where he preaches to the Ninevites, and guess what they did? They repented. And Jonah is angry with God. He is beyond angry with God. Listen to Jonah chapter 4. Then Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I fled. I knew that you're a compassionate God. Now, oh, Lord, take my life. It's better for me to die than it is to live. Basically, Jonah tells God this. I knew it. I knew it. You love and forgive these horrible Assyrians. God, I'd rather die than see you forgive them. But no! That's the kind of God you are. And that's what you do. Here again, we could quote John 3, verse 16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world. The people and king of Nineveh did repent. And they repented in ashes. As we read earlier from chapter 3, verse 6 of Jonah, the king took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust and the ashes. The king followed the lead of his people in repentance by wearing sackcloth, humble, rough cloth like a burlap bag. Or something, a bag you put a sack of potatoes together with. That's what he put on. And then the king sat in a pile of ashes. Ashes. A sign of repentance. And a desire to get right with God. And what happened? God forgave them and he spared them. Jonah 3:10 tells us, when God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Now is where we start applying this to our lives. The ashes of war, hardship, tragedy, heartache call each of us to join the king of Nineveh and to repent. It is as true today as it was in the time of Jonah, as it was in the time of Jesus. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke 13. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than everybody else living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. A tragic event happened in Jerusalem. A stone tower fell down and crushed 18 people. A number of people thought, well, those folks must have done something to deserve it. I wonder what they did. Glad it wasn't me. And Jesus tells them, stop. Stop such thinking. He tells them, when they hear and see such events, such tragedies, Don't waste your time trying to figure it out in self-righteousness. I'm glad it's them and not me. Instead, it says, when you see tragedies and difficulties in this world, and this applies to us today, Jesus says, let it be a reminder to each of us. It's time to repent and get right with God. Same is true today. Tragedies, wars, conflicts, community and family and personal heartaches are just symptoms. Symptoms of the root cause of all suffering. And what is the root cause of all suffering? It is sin. Yes, the ashes of repentance are appropriate for each of us. We see all around us the effects of our sin. And by the way, as you've heard me say 100 times, don't do this when you see sin. Oh, look at that. Or look at that person. My grade 3 teacher, Mrs. Miller, told me when we point one finger at someone else, we've got 3 coming back at ourselves. When we see the effects of sin in our world, in our own homes, in our workplace, in our community, in our church, in our relationships, in our own heart. St. Paul was absolutely right when he wrote in Romans 3:23, there is no difference, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, it's time for each of us today to join the King of Nineveh, to sit upon and be covered by the ashes of repentance. And guess what? Guess what? Just as God did for the king and people of Assyria, so he does for you and me. When we repent, he forgives. Did you just hear what I said? When you repent, God forgives. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. For God still so loves the world. For God still so loves you. Over the ashes of our sin and repentance stands the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get the picture in the children's message. The cross over the ashes of all we've done. And the beautiful heart upon that cross, beating and dying for you and me. Over the ashes of our sin stands the cross of our Lord Jesus. And whatever shipwrecks, whatever car wrecks, whatever personal wrecks you have caused or done, whatever wrecks have been in our lives, whatever wrecks are now in our lives, over that stands the cross of our risen and victorious Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn declares, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. It's true. Believe it. In today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, Jesus says in verse 15, repent and believe. Jesus says you can believe. When he says, I have died for you on that cross to pay for your sins. You can believe, Jesus says, that I have risen for you and give you eternal life. You can believe, Jesus says, my nail-pierced hands are even today reaching out to you. Jesus took upon himself our ashes. He took upon the ashes of your sin, the ashes of your pride, the ashes of your rebellion, the ashes of your conflict, the ashes of your death. He took them to the cross for you. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says about your Lord Jesus. Chapter 53. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. At the cross, your Lord Jesus suffered much, much worse than the tragedy of heartache or war. He endured on that cross the ravages of the enemies of all mankind, the ravages of sin, the ravages of death, the ravages of the devil. This killed him on that first Good Friday. But Easter Sunday followed, and he rose in victory, and his resurrection is our absolution. Let me say that again. His resurrection is our absolution, our cleansing, our forgiveness, our peace with God, our assurance of heaven. And this is why the church continues to exist, to proclaim the cross and empty tomb of Jesus that still stands victorious of all the ashes of our sin and rebellion and death. The cross over the ashes. We end this sermon with a question. Have you ever heard of that ancient mythological bird from the fables of the Egyptians called the Phoenix? The main city in the state of Arizona is Phoenix, Arizona. This mythological bird, the Phoenix, is described in the ancient fables of Egypt as a creature that lived for 500 years. Then it was consumed by fire and would one day rise from its own ashes as a symbol of immortality. Now that's a myth and a fable. But the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in even secular godless history books, in the pages of the Bible, and by the eyewitness accounts of multitudes, stands eternally over the ashes of our sin and death. His resurrection victory over sin, death, and devil is our victory, our forgiveness, and our life eternal. O Lord, in all of life's battles, give us faith to see clearly and to cling to your cross over our ashes. In the name of Jesus, amen.